You're listening to the Depends on How You Look at It podcast. In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity. And I'm your host, Isaiah Burridge. Well, thank you for tuning in to Depends on How You Look at It. Today, I'm going to be playing an interview discussion I did with my friend Danny Cooper. Danny has been on the show 2 years ago talking about his journey out of the Jehovah's Witness cult. But today, we just talk casually about Reformed theology, and we spend a lot of time on Christian liberty. How much is too much? What's a sin for you? What's a sin for me? How does that play out in social circles? We don't want to make our convictions everyone else's convictions, or do we? Is that the right thing to do? Specifically, are we giving Satan too much credit? We get into all these things and just frankly just have a brotherly, casual conversation. And I hope you can be uplifted by it, encouraged by it, that you know maybe you can find that you're not alone in how you're thinking and what you're struggling with and our culture. And the bottom line, just hear us in charity. It's two friends talking through these things in a charitable way, a Christian way, and we're not throwing stones at each other, and we agree on a lot and we disagree on a lot. And at the end of the day, I always respect Danny more after we have these conversations. And I hope and pray that the church can do that more too, because you know, we're under a microscope. We are being watched by the world on how we deal with our trials and how we deal with each other. We're going to make mistakes, and the world's very unforgiving of our mistakes, but we need to learn to forgive each other and work through things and be unified on the essentials, and essentials unity, right? Anyway, I hope you enjoy this discussion between me and Danny. I know I did. Thank you for listening. Well, on this episode of Depends on How You Look at It, I'm really happy to welcome back my dear friend, Danny Cooper. Danny was on the show, believe it or not, 2 years ago, Danny. That's how long it's been.
I noticed that when I saw how long it's been since I've been on Skype.
Yeah. Danny was on the show a few years ago to give me his testimony about leaving the Jehovah's Witnesses and how he lived a life of, I don't know, agnosticism or something, and then you came to the real true Christ in 2014. So,
yep.
Danny, I'm really glad you're back on the show. How are you doing these days? I know your health is not exactly, you're not exactly the picture of health right now, if you want to go into that for us.
No, I'm not. I'm having some, I had 2 rounds of COVID. I had the original COVID, then I had Omicron, and ever since then, I've been having some heart issues. Palpitations, things like that, memory loss. The COVID fogs is really a thing.
You sure you're not just getting old?
No, I'm not that old. I'm not that old.
But I don't know, man. You send me a lot of dad rock.
What'd I say? You know, I was a child of the 70s. I remember going to a record store and getting Kiss Destroyer the record when I was 8 years old. I remember that. I remember doing those things. So, yeah. I remember introducing my mom to Boston when their first record came out. That was the thing that got her off of country music and into rock, was actually more than a failing from Boston. So yeah, I remember all those times. It was a lot easier. It was an easier life back then. I mean, outside of the fact that I was raised as a Jehovah's Witness, that kind of stunk in hindsight. But when I was a kid living that way, that was just that's what I knew. I didn't know anything else.
Well, of course. I'm really close with my mom, and she listens to all that stuff. She was also a child of the 70s, and I think that's why you and I have a lot in common, is I'm just kind of an old soul, and I don't mean that rude. I like the things that came a long time before me than I like my contemporaries. Yeah. So, man, I hate to hear you're having some heart issues, but sounds like it's fixable though with the mild blockage and all that, but you got to wait a while.
I got to wait a while. I mean, it's, right now it's a case of hurry up and wait. Mm-hmm. And I go see, I'm going to see a neurologist the middle part of next month about some kind of weird tics I'm having.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to go to a nuclear medicine thing where they insert radioactive material to see in your body, in your arteries and everything, to see what's blocked, how bad is something blocked. Hopefully it's nothing. I really hope it turns out to be nothing, but you know, I'm just praying about it and trying not to freak out.
Well, you are a encouragement to me because we both have our health issues, but man, what would we do without the trust and grace of God to know no matter what happens here, there's a whole lot more coming.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I just, you know, I trust God in his providence. Mm-hmm. And I have to do that. If I didn't have that trust, I would be a wreck right now with everything going on in the world and my personal life, you know, as far as my health goes and everything. But you know, just having that faith and that trust in God to get us through the bad times, and knowing that this life isn't all there is, knowing that we await something so much bigger, and something that is incomprehensible. I can't comprehend eternity. No. But I will someday.
No eye has seen what the glory God has prepared.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Another one Paul says is it's all transient, you know. Don't look to what is transient, look to what is eternal. So the fact that you bring up the providence of God, I think that's going to kickstart exactly what we're talking about today. Listeners, my goal for this episode is to take a break from some of the specialty topics I've been dealing with and just have a casual discussion with my friend about Reformed theology, Christian liberty. More times than not, my show focuses on the aspects of Christianity that may not get a whole lot of airtime. Topics like original sin, textual criticism, church history, complicated Trinitarian metaphysics, things of that sort. Depends on how you look at it as a show about how this thing called the body of Christ can have so many different opinions on things, yet still be united for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Danny is one of those people in my life who we disagree on some things, but ultimately we're brothers in Christ and we want to encourage each other and find the common ground and defend the essentials. So today, I want to record you and I, Danny, talking about some things we found in common recently, things like how important is soteriology? That's the study of how salvation works. You know, Calvinism, Arminianism. Is it a good thing to listen to non-Reformed teachers? How far does Christian liberty extend? Can we listen to secular music? Can we as grown men play video games? How should we strive to spend our free time? How much is too much? And finally, what does Romans 14 have to do with any of this? So I'm faithful that you and I will circle around all these topics today.
Yeah.
And listeners, I hope you find some encouragement and perhaps some education from today's episode. Maybe it might encourage you to know that other people are wrestling with the same things you are. So, Danny, I shared with you recently that I really enjoy listening to a few non-Reformed guys like Steve Gregg and Mike Winger, who are very adamant about their non-Calvinism. Yet, I feel like their teachings in many areas are solid. They're completely essential brothers. So how do you look at this? Do you have any non-Reformed guys you like to listen to, or do you stick totally with the Reformed world?
I stick pretty much with the Reformed world, but I mean, I have listened to Mike Winger. I appreciate Mike Winger a lot on mm-hmm. things like the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yes.
I appreciate him with his talking about the Passion Translation and things like that.
He was great.
Mm-hmm. But then he'll have somebody like Leighton Flowers on and I just have to turn him off.
I don't disagree with you. I have friends who are friends with Leighton. I don't know Leighton personally, but I'll just be very adamant. I'm very annoyed by just the general Soteriology 101 YouTube channel. I just think it's been answered. It's been corrected. Yep. And I'm frankly tired of it, but you know, he has a right to make content. But, what I like about Steve Gregg and Mike Winger is while they've done some things on Calvinism, man, they've got a whole lot of teachings on a lot of other things.
Yeah, and the thing I appreciate about Mike is not, he's not deceitful. Mm-mm. And I can disagree with him, but on his views, but still admire him for what he has done. And most of the other guys in that vein, I can't do that. I just can't. And because I feel like it's coming from a bad place.
I feel like it comes from a place of emoting, if you will. Like, instead of dealing with what true historic Calvinists are trying to say, I feel like they take the most extreme examples of Calvinist thought and just rail on it.
Yeah.
And it's not always a fair representation.
No, not at all. And that's the problem I have with it is I think I sometimes think guys like Leighton Flowers and a couple of others are intentionally deceitful. I just do. I don't get that from Winger, from Mike.
No, my wife loves Mike Winger. I would love to, I know he's a busy guy, but I would love to somehow get a hold of him and have him on the podcast to talk with him about some of the things he does and to encourage him and show that while I'm a Calvinist or whatever, me and him could do something and be completely unified on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but this brings me to my next question for you, because I feel like I'm starting to approach this part of my life now, and it's sad. Have you ever lost friends over Reformed thinking?
Yes.
Yeah. And I feel like some of that comes from people not thinking for themselves, but listening to what so-and-so said about Calvinism and not actually digging in and seeing what we're saying. And
yeah. I mean, I've told you the story about how I became a Calvinist was actually by listening to to Leighton Flowers. And true story.
Me too, actually.
But yeah. I mean, I, when I was still a witness, way back when I was I had some friends who were, at that time I didn't know anything about Arminianism, Calvinism, Provisionism. I knew nothing. And, I made friends with some guys who, they were members of a denomination called the Church of Christ. And, I've kept in contact with these guys for 2 decades. Then when I became a Christian, I knew these guys quite well. I mean, I've known them pretty much to that time of my adult life. And, once I became a Calvinist, they kind of cut me off.
Well, it's funny you say that. I was raised in the Christian church, which is the Church of Christ with music.
Right.
So I was raised around Arminian thinking, and I love those people. But I think some of them are some of the people I grew up with are genuinely shocked on how I ended up in my Christian thinking. So now for you, you kind of went through this not a Christian phase, and you became a Christian later in life. So
and
I have different backgrounds on that. I was raised a Christian. I'm what a Presbyterian would call a covenant kid.
Right. Yeah, you'd be a covenant child.
Covenant child. I wasn't baptized, though.
Okay. Oh, well.
So you attend a Presbyterian church now. Are you happy there, or do you compromise because it is what it is? Would you rather be in a Reformed Baptist church, or do you not really care?
I didn't really care. I mean, when I first became a Christian, it kind of worked out. Here's how it worked. I mean, as being raised as a Jehovah's Witness, you really think God hates you and wants to kill you. And he's just looking for a reason to do those things. So when I became a believer, my wife's, dad, stepdad and his wife were attending a United Methodist church. And believe me, I mean, I really honestly thought that all churches taught the same thing. That's what the witnesses taught. And that's what I thought. Okay, well, they're all one's as good as the other. That's what I thought. So I started going to that Methodist church. And I need, and it was very much a God loves you, God loves you. And I needed that affirmation at first. It was important for me to know that God loved me and didn't want to kill me. You know, right. Okay. And, but after I've been there for a few years, I mean, I started the more, and I really, from the time I first believed, I remember I was saved, born again, and I went out the next day and bought a big NLT study Bible, which I still have. And I just started really digging in and reading and studying and just, you know, doing all the stuff I could just to learn. And as a result, I just kind of saw that the Methodist Church probably wasn't where I needed to be. Mm-hmm. For various reasons. So I started just looking around at different churches. I mean, I was at the Methodist Church, I was pretty involved doing men's groups and, you know, teaching Sunday school classes and things like that. But I just knew I had to leave, especially over the issue of like there was a gay couple. And the female pastor let them take communion, mm-hmm. and I had real issues with that.
Yeah. And the Methodists they're now commonly known as pretty much the left wing part of the church, is what I understand and what I see in my
pretty
community.
Much, yeah.
Let me level with you, Danny. I love my Presbyterian brothers and sisters, and I know there's denominations within Presbyterianism. There's the PCA, PCUSA.
Yeah, PCUSA.
Orthodox, yeah. Presbyterian, OPC.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't know what denomination of Presby, what church I'm thinking of here, but there's churches in Megan and I's town with rainbow memorabilia,
That'd probably be the PCUSA.
Yeah, and it's... Yeah. I want to be careful how I talk about it, because I don't want to be accused of saying I don't welcome those people to church. That's not what I mean.
Yeah.
But we acknowledge what sin, repentance, right. and a godly life looks like. And right. what I get from these churches is they don't.
Exactly. That's the problem. I mean, I have no problem with gay people in church because they need to be there. They need to be led to repentance.
Right.
But we can't say that God approves of this thing, and that's what these churches do.
Right.
It's one's not the other. So,
and I feel like our positions are conflated with just believing they're unredeemable jerks. Yeah. And I don't believe that whatsoever. If anybody's an unredeemable jerk, it's me, right? Like, you know, you talked about how God, you always thought God wanted to kill you.
Yeah.
Well, it's one thing to know that and come to an understanding that actually, God has this thing called grace for you and love and mercy. And if you look to Jesus, it's paid for, right? Yep. But then you also acknowledge, I still deserve death, though, and God spared me. I still deserve an eternal damnation, yep. you know?
Yeah.
And that's the whole extreme of it sounds like the Jehovah's Witnesses fall off in the extreme of mm-hmm. you got to just always be pleasing God, And then there's the hyper grace movement to where, oh, just be whoever you want to be.
Yeah. God loves you.
God loves you.
Yeah.
And there's, man, I think the middle ground is the correct ground. It's both.
Yeah.
It's both.
Definitely. Yeah. I think so.
So do you think soteriology and salvation is worth leaving a church over? Because you mentioned you left because of obvious gospel issues, but yeah. What about a church that's just a standard Arminian church? Could you worship there and be happy?
Yeah, I think so.
I do too. For me,
I think so. But again, it goes with a caveat. I mean, I wouldn't feel comfortable going to a church that said Calvinists are going to hell.
No, not at all. Not at all. No. That's the imbalance we got to fight.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people on both sides. They're guilty of this.
Yeah, there's Calvinists, man. There's people in our group, and I want to call them out. If you think it's a salvation issue, check your heart and check the Bible, because it's not.
Yeah.
when it comes to be a salvation issue is when someone genuinely thinks that they are working to appease God and merit his grace, right?
Yeah. All right,
that's a salvation issue.
But I'd even take it a step further and go to somebody like a Charles Finney, who taught that you don't need grace.
Charles Finney?
Charles Finney, yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
You don't need grace. You can just do it. Your salvation is totally dependent on you, 100%. God made the provision. Now you just got to go take it.
Right.
And, that's
what bothers me about the provisionism, if you will, non-Calvinism, because I want to differentiate here. Classical Arminianism is orthodox.
Right.
It really is. Mm-hmm. So when I say Arminian, I'm not using a pejorative to describe my non-Calvinist brothers and sisters. I'm using an actual historical theological term.
Right.
But when you get into provisionism, it feels like there isn't a whole lot of difference between them and Rome on the gospel. Now, I'm not saying they're Catholics, but what I am saying is how do they really deal with Rome's claims when their salvation model looks real close?
I don't know how they can do it. I mean, they do it though, but I just don't know how they make sense of it. And that's the thing that bothers me about that is they want to. I knew someone at one time who was a big time provisionist. I'm supposing this person still is, but she called Augustine a Gnostic heretic who was very dangerous inside the church.
That's the new talking point, by the way.
Yeah, and the same thing with who was it? Constantine. Constantine was as well.
Constantine gets a bad rap. All he was doing was trying to rule his kingdom with some peace.
Yeah.
The guy didn't make theological decisions.
No.
And anybody that says Constantine, you know, came up with the Trinity or, you know, all that dumb stuff, it's you're a former witness. You know those arguments very well.
Yeah, I've heard them all.
It's silly. Yeah. So anyway, I don't want to soapbox about provisionism because, again, I got provisionist friends and brothers and sisters and things like that. But when you get into the theological nitty gritty of it, that is my problem with it, is that I feel like there's this mass exodus to Rome right now. There's a lot of people converting to Catholicism.
Yeah.
And part of that is because they were not Protestant out of conviction. They were Protestant out of tradition.
Right.
Does that make
sense?
That's
the problem. That's the problem. Yeah.
The Reformation was not about the necessity of grace. It was about the sufficiency of grace.
Right.
And I know it sounds like James White and, you know, whatever, but he's right. James White is right when he says these things. You might not like him when it comes to divine simplicity or what have you. I don't like I'm not a post-millennial, right? But when he's right, he's right. And when he really hones in on the real issue of salvation studies, he's coming from his background is he's been a Roman Catholic. He's debated Roman Catholics for 30 years. He's heard it all. Mm-hmm. And now it's just scary to look at our camp and see them arguing like Roman Catholicism.
Yeah, I don't get it. You know, how do they get here? Is my big thing is how did they go from one to the other? It just doesn't make any sense to me. But
development, man, just theological laziness in the church, number one.
Yeah.
I would rather talk to a classical Arminian who is convinced of their Protestant position, right? And I would happily preach the gospel with them all day long over somebody who is flirting with Rome.
Yeah.
Make sense?
I would, yeah. Definitely, yeah.
So, all right, man. Well, now I want to move into part of the conversation that you and I were having privately a couple days ago, and we kind of were like, man, I wonder if anyone else feels this way or if we're just nuts. You know, we were talking about Christian liberty, and what I mean by Christian liberty is not what it's like to be an American Christian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What I mean is, where is the line of obeying God's law, his moral law, his commandments, and also recreation, fun,
mm-hmm.
right? Because while it might seem like a very trivial non-issue, it's not. A lot of people are struggling with right and wrong at this moment, because we're finding out a lot of things behind a lot of different companies and corporations and television, music, you name it. We're finding out a lot of bad things. Yep. And if you use your ears and use your eyes, if you're a Christian, you won't miss it.
Nope.
So, and I'm not just talking about the Disney thing. I'm talking about music and all of it. But here's the thing, man. I liked watching The Mandalorian. I want to watch the new Obi-Wan Kenobi show. And I listen. We're rock musicians.
Mm-hmm.
Where is it just simply a personal conviction line? Is this all Romans 14? Because, you know, it feels like many of our interests, specifically me and you, Danny, our interests are frowned upon. When I was in my early 20s, I was accused by a church member for liking devil music and bringing it in the church.
Okay.
Because I played guitar in the band and I played a Gibson SG. And if you know what a Gibson SG, it's AC/DC, Angus Young, right? And guess what? I like AC/DC. I like Angus Young. I think his guitar chord voicings are incredibly useful. But have you ever personally come across this? Just basic recreational stuff being called into question and your Christianity is called into question?
Yeah, mainly online. I really... I tend to stay pretty tight-lipped about that stuff most of the time. But the one thing I can think of is a few years ago, my wife and I and my oldest son went to see Metallica. And did a live feed. I mean, of the song "Fade to Black," which I think is a great song. It's a great rock and roll song.
I love that song.
Metallica is a great rock and roll band. They just are. And so anyway, I did the song, and next day a well-meaning brother in Christ said, "Hey, you know, why are you doing that? Don't you know there's not going to be any heavy metal in heaven?" and I didn't really know how to take it. I just kind of let it go. But I've had a few things happen like that. But I tend to let it go in one ear and out the other.
Right.
Because, you know, I'm not going to be one to throw a stone when I could probably, when this person, I could probably, look at their Facebook profile and find something that I found offensive.
Right.
So what's the point?
It doesn't seem very fruitful to me.
No, it's not.
I think a lot of people make their own personal convictions, other people's personal convictions.
Yeah.
And, you know, my wife came out of New Age and some very weird pagan stuff. So she, and she's obviously a very mature Christian, but there have been times, and I think she's still working through it. But there have been times where certain things to her feel yikes because of her background.
Yeah. And we all have those.
And we all have that.
Yeah.
And to me, I'm going, huh? You know, like, that doesn't bother. Like, I have no history with this television show or song or whatever.
Yeah.
I have no history with this other than it reminds me of a good time or something. Mm-hmm. And for her, it reminds her of being hating God, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I try to respect her and censor that if I'm around her, if it really does bother her, that is. 9 times out of 10, she's like, I don't care what you listen to, whatever. Yeah. But like, I'm not going to make her, you know, I'm not going to put on Slipknot Iowa because that's an album she really loved and identified with. I'm not going to put on that album because I know what it does to her.
That's her first record, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you and I are going to go, oh, so that was the, because you and I look at it differently.
Yeah.
But man, is there, the New Testament simply doesn't address secular music. It just doesn't. Nope. It addresses things that I guess you could find relative to it. But do we say, well, I can eat meat and you can't? Is that what we need to do? Does that apply to us, in your opinion? The whole Romans 14 thing?
You know, it's kind of weird because when I first became a believer, I mean, I was, I was the guy with the worst potty mouth you'd ever heard. Mm-hmm. And I had had a lifelong adult porn addiction. And I just was a generally miserable person. Sure. And I knew when I first believed, I knew that I had to get the porn thing under control.
And that's a black and white issue,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's no New Testament no justification for that. Yeah.
No neutrality there. So through a lot of prayer and a lot of really looking at Matthew 11, 28 through 30 and letting Christ be my rest, that desire, he took it. Don't have the desire for it anymore. Don't care to look at it. I mean, used to, when I would get home from work, that would be the first thing I'd do. Go to various, you know, right. Porn sites.
Wow.
I never even think about it anymore.
That's amazing. I'm so happy to hear that, man, because.
And I,
you know, this is why I like our conversations, by the way, because we circle the hard things.
Yeah. When I became a believer, I had no idea that you had so many Christian males that were porn addicts.
It's everywhere.
You know, I just.
And females, by the way.
Yeah. And females too.
But men more. I'm not going to make, not going to say, well, women do it too. That's not what I mean.
Yeah.
It's sex is an the defilement of sex is an epidemic in the Christian church.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. And, you know, I feel for those people, but, for anyone, if for any man, male or female out there, listen to this, you gotta throw it on God. You've got to, and he will take it away from you.
There are also resources for people. There's the accountability buddy system. Yeah. I think those are really wonderful tools. And this is why, and I'm speaking from a sympathetic point of view to the lockdown stuff, but this is why the lockdowns have been so bad, because we've lost connection with each other. We've lost accountability, and we've sunk into our black hole existence in our home.
Yeah.
And really lost the reins on a lot of things. Don't you think?
Yeah. And it's easy to do, you know, and it's easy to do. It's easy to lose yourself, to lose who you are. And that's why, I mean, I think, you know, for myself, I mean, you and I are both, you know, pretty much stay at home guys.
Right. Danny and I are very unique. You know, Danny is, how old are you, Danny?
I'll be 55 in July.
55? I thought you were only 51. Okay. Never mind. Danny and I are unique individuals. We're not the average norm of a Christian man, because we have significant health problems and we can't hold down a job.
Nope. I retired. My last day to work was September 1st, 2016.
So I know, obviously you worked most of your life, but
yeah,
I worked from 18 to 26, I think, which isn't a long time. I grant that, but yeah. I got stage 4 cancer and it destroyed my life, man. It destroyed my physicality, but, I was able to get, you know, disability and still provide, you know, but even as men, biblical men, we still have a duty to provide for our family spiritually and whatever monetarily we can do. You know, the whole idea of the man has to work and the wife has to do the dishes, I'm not quite on board with that always, but I think it's a good paradigm. I don't think it's wrong. And I think if a woman wants to stay at home, I think feminism has actually destroyed a lot of women, believe it or not.
Yeah, me too.
But there are special cases and nuance, like you and me, and we just frankly just have an odd situation. But so we have a lot of free time, Danny, or sometimes we do. Do you feel convicted to spend your free time studying the Word of God instead of mindlessly watching stupid shows and video games and this, that, and the other?
Well, it just depends. I mean, I go through spurts to where I'll study. I hate to use the word study religiously, but I'm an eschatology nut. I always have been. And
that's why we're friends.
Listen to Greg Beale and Kim Riddle Barger and all these amillennial guys that just have such fantastic insights, and I can listen to that stuff, read it for hours on end.
Same.
And but at the same time, I can, you know, I can read The Hobbit or go watch the Lord of the Rings movies.
What is it with Christians and Lord of the Rings? Every guy I've had on this podcast, you know, brings it up.
Here's my thing. I don't even look at it from a Christian point of view. I just think they're good movies.
Right.
You know, I've never seen any of the Narnia movies.
You're not missing anything.
They just don't pique my interest. But as a kid growing up reading The Hobbit, I mean, I just fell in love with it and still do.
I love Star Wars that way. Okay. Like, I can watch documentaries about Star Wars, yeah, and this, that, and the other. And I just think it's so cool. Right. Which is why I've been heartbroken recently about all the Disney scandal, yeah, stuff. Cause like, man, I don't want to support it. I really don't. No.
I got rid of Disney and Hulu.
Yeah. So let's shoot at that a minute, because I did the same thing. Mm-hmm. But I don't think you think this either, but I want our listeners to understand this. We don't think we're better than anyone else because we canceled our Disney subscriptions, right?
Nope.
And I don't judge people who still have their Disney and whatever. I would call you to be mindful about it. I would call you to read what's going on. But if you still come down on, you know, whatever, I'm going to watch Aladdin, cool. You know, I'm not here to tell you.
Not a salvation issue.
Right. So I guess that's kind of the
point. People make it that way. Some people make it.
But some people do. And I think that's why we have to talk about this so nuanced, because I'm so afraid of being misinterpreted by my friends and family of, oh, well, Isaiah just, he canceled it and he just thinks he's more righteous. No, I don't. Not even for a minute.
You know, speaking of that, recently, I don't know if you heard about this or not. Jeff Bezos, the guy with
Amazon.
He's Amazon, right? Mm-hmm. He runs Amazon, right? His wife, anyway, somebody he knows, just made a massive donation to Planned Parenthood, and you know, we all know what they do.
Yep.
Just
regular old women's health care, Danny.
Yeah, that's all it is. Yeah, where babies die, unfortunately. Yep. But some people I know said, well, hey, you need to not use Amazon anymore because they're, you know, but and so here's what I did. I went through and looked at how many businesses give money to Planned Parenthood.
A scary majority.
Yeah. And so, you know, I can't hunt. I don't have a garden. I gotta go buy groceries.
Right.
You know, so sadly Kroger and Walmart are two of those places that give money to Planned Parenthood.
That's right.
So am I not going to go buy food for my family because they do this thing? Or am I, you know, it's,
you cannot consistently live this out.
No,
you can't. Unless you want to go live in the forest.
Yeah. Unless we want to have a Christian commune.
Right. Now, some people would almost go that far though.
I know people that have gone that far.
So I think.
Let me
read a scripture. Hold on, because I think the scripture actually applies to this. Hold on one second. Found it.
Okay. Where was it?
Okay. So I want to read the scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. Okay. So he says, Paul writes, I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people, not at all meaning the sexually immoral of this world, or the greedy and the swindlers and the idolaters. Since then, you would need to go out of the world. But I'm writing to you not associate with anyone who bears the name of a brother if he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed, idolatry, or vile, or drunkard, swindler. Don't even eat with them. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? It is not those inside the church whom you are to judge. Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? God judges those outside. Purge the evil person from among you. So Paul's talking about church discipline here.
Yep.
And he's talking about, you know, if you know for first fact hand here that somebody is in gross sin, they need to be called out. Don't associate with them. Don't make them. Don't be buddy buddy with them. Mm-hmm. You know, purge them from your congregation if they're not repentant. That is
right.
But he makes a case to say, but make sure you don't understand me. I'm not saying don't talk to that person out in the world, or, you know, don't flee from this out in the world, because you would have to basically not live in the world, is what he's right. saying.
Yeah.
So I think this applies to what you're saying. Am I not allowed to go to Walmart because Walmart is a sinful corporation that supports evil? I don't think that can consistently be lived out.
I don't either.
But I personally can do my part if I want, if I feel convicted, to cancel things like Disney, Hulu, because if it's feeling, if it's hurting my walk with Christ and I'm spending too much time on it and filling my head with trash, that's a good thing to get out of your life anyway.
Right.
But if you want to make those personal decisions for you and your family, I'm all for it. But just make sure that you don't put that on everyone else, because if you do, then I challenge you to follow it consistently.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like what we say. I mean, there are certain things that I may think are sinful that you don't. And
like
and,
dad rock.
Yeah, like dad rock, exactly. But you know, it's one of the things I'm learning about Christian liberty is it's okay to not agree with everything.
Really? We can disagree?
It's okay. It's okay. It's okay.
There are disputable matters. Are you serious?
There are But and here's the thing I'll go. I mean, we talked about this before we came on, but, you know, R.C. Sproul and John MacArthur were best friends.
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
Best friends. And you would think that two guys that were totally opposite on the issue of baptism.
Eschatology. And they
would, and soteria, and they would have these heated debates and then hug and at the end
and be gentlemen. Yeah.
And be gentlemen. And so that's what we have to do.
I think, and the church, I'm talking about the church here, but this is an epidemic of humanity in general right now, but we've lost the ability to critically think and disagree with one another in love and charity.
And not take it personal.
There are personal matters. There are black and white things. There are things that I'm willing to disassociate with somebody over. Frankly, if you tell me you're a Christian and that you're pro-choice, I really don't have anything to do with you. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I have a real personal tie to that. Mm-hmm. I'm one of those not ideal people that the left thinks it's okay to kill.
Yeah.
And along with, you know, the Down syndrome children, it's utter depravity. It really is.
Yep.
And if you support that and call yourself a brother, no, sorry. However, if you support that and you're not a Christian, well, then I want to talk to you. Mm-hmm. I want to try to see if I can understand what you're saying and for you to understand what I'm saying. And perhaps the Holy Spirit might take over, right?
Yeah, definitely.
But it's really hard for me to deal with somebody who's claiming they have the Holy Spirit but believe something that vile.
Yeah.
And I just think that's a dividing line compared to, hey, do you like that one song by Metallica? Me too.
Yeah, exactly.
Quite different, don't you think?
Yeah.
Now, in defense of the people who would not listen to Metallica and stuff, Danny, you and I both know when you look into the history of metal and stuff, it's dark.
It's dark.
It's rough.
Mm-hmm.
But music itself, we're guitarists, the notes, the melodies, I don't think that is moral. I think that's amoral, right? I think it just is.
I think so. It's like I told you yesterday. I can appreciate someone's talent and not appreciate the worldview.
Right.
And my favorite band of all time, Rush, they're three atheist guys.
Mm-hmm.
They're all atheists. Neil Peart, you know, he died a couple years ago. He was very adamant in his lyrics about his, I wouldn't say anti-Christian views, but just anti-belief in general.
Mm-hmm.
And, It really, when I first became a believer, it really kind of hit me hard because I took it personal.
Yeah.
With him and a couple of other bands as well. Bands like Iron Maiden. I've always loved Iron Maiden. Just their
style. The Trooper is one of my favorite songs.
Yeah.
Yes, and I know how to, and I play it on guitar too.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, just that style of music of theirs, man. They just they were so formulaic, but the formula was so good.
I agree. Totally agree.
You knew what you're gonna get with Iron Maiden. You know, totally knew what you're gonna get with it. So I just kind of how I started viewing things like that was, you know what? I'm not gonna listen to things that are flattened out blatantly anti-Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I really try to get away from all the cursing and the rock music and stuff. Like you mentioned Slipknot. As much as I love Slipknot, I can't listen to them anymore. Just can't do it.
That's okay. Can't do it, man. Now I'm gonna sit here and say at the moment it doesn't really bother me.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's just, but see, you can look at me and go, okay.
Yeah.
Right? Like, do you think I'm any less faithful to Christ because maybe I could listen to the song Psychosocial or something?
The Psychosocial is a good song. I mean, I'll listen to that. I just can't. I mean, some of their songs, they just say,
it's rough. It's very depraved.
Over and over again. I'm like, oh, stop it, please.
I want to hold myself accountable here and say it's very depraved. And there are bands I've had to personally throw away because I'm like, man, this is just bad.
It's too much.
Right? It's too much for me.
Yeah.
And then in the process of throwing some of that stuff in the trash, I found other secular bands that I liked. And,
yeah.
You know, just be honest, they're pretty neutral when it comes to religious lyrics.
Yeah.
I don't believe anyone is religiously neutral. Everybody has is either you are for Christ or you're against him. Right. But what I'm saying is some of these songs are simply about, you know, beating cancer or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I can relate to that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a song by, you know what ska was?
Yeah.
There was a song by the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Called The Impression That I Get.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're a secular band. They're a punk rock band, ska band. But that song is written from the perspective of a guy who's never had anything go wrong for him in life medically.
Right.
But he meets somebody with cancer. So the chorus is, I've never had to knock on wood, but I know someone who has. Well, it's funny because knock on wood is a saying we in the oncology world say all the time. You know, we don't actually believe any hocus pocus behind it.
Right.
But like, we're like, man, knock on wood, my PET scan was good. Right. But so I can hear that song and go, that's a fun song. Mm-hmm. It's not Christian. It's not anti-Christian. It's just about a different kind of topic.
Yeah.
And I really have a hard time with going, oh, I can't listen to that because it's not praising the Lord. I don't know. Why were we designed with recreational hobbies and desires and interests if we are not allowed to use them in any way?
Yeah.
And I think that's something that's going to be redeemed in the new heavens and new earth.
I think so. I think so as well. You know, I really do. I we don't know how it's going to look.
No.
But, I kind of see how I kind of see it is. We don't really have any frame of reference, and that's the big issue. And so we try to make our own frame of reference, but it usually fails pretty miserably.
Sure.
But you know, I kind of see it like things are now, but it's going to be so much better.
Yes.
You know, once you take sin out of the equation, you know, it's going to be so much better.
Well, I wonder, you know, when we're redeemed and you and I are really, really gunning for those new bodies, right?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
I wonder when we're redeemed and sin is purged, I wonder if I'm going to lose my personality because I think I'm just
always,
one big sin.
Yeah, you're always going to be a little snarky. Okay.
But like, well, I mean, you know what? I always say, I think Jesus was snarky sometimes. I think
Jesus
read some gospel stories and go, yeah. What did he actually say it like that?
Yeah.
Because, you know, but I'm just joking here. But I think one frame of reference we might can use is, and it's purely biblical. Adam and Eve, and I don't care if you're a young earth creation, it doesn't matter to me. Adam and Eve were told to have dominion and garden the garden, you know, like be gardeners and work. And they would see the fruits of their labor kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But the way it's described is this holy, righteous, fun. I mean, fun's not the right word, but holy, righteous, enjoyable, recreational experience.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, so it is a garden, after all.
It's a garden. And some people right now, Danny, I'm not one of them. Some people like to sit and play in their dirt and plant their plants. And I think it's wonderful. I don't think that's going away.
No.
But maybe their back won't be killing them afterwards.
Yeah.
You know? I think that's... Can you imagine a world without pain? Physical pain?
I'd like to.
I mean, you and I live in physical pain a lot, most of the time.
Chronically, yeah.
Chronically. And a lot of people don't understand that. And thank God, I'm glad a lot of people don't understand that, because the world would fall apart if everyone was like you and me.
Yeah, it would.
But you and I think you and I have a friendship because we have similar lives at this point.
Yep.
Part of my struggle, and something I actually do get counseling about from the whole cancer experience, is I have always felt inadequate as a man, because I'm short, I'm weak, I'm just, you name a problem, I probably have it. And, you know, just, I've always felt like I never really fit into the typical raw, strong young man kind of thing. I'd like to, but I don't. So I have to take what God has given me providentially and use it to his glory and do my best in my limitations.
Yep.
And I'm looking forward to a day I don't have those limitations.
Yeah, me too. I understand. You know, it's kind of weird, because I was always the picture of health. And then in 2010 at work, I just, you know, I went to pick something up and felt a little kink in my back. And 30 minutes later, I was laying on the ground, writhing in pain.
Oh, my God.
And that, it just went downhill from there.
My dad injured himself probably around the same age you did. I want to say my dad was in his early 40s. Was that when it happened to you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess once you get past 30. my dad was always a strong guy. He was a meat cutter. He ran a business. One day, I don't know exactly how it all came together, but he injured his back, and it just never got right.
They never get better.
And he goes numb from the waist down and things like that, and a lot of nerve issues. And I don't quite have that per se. And we won't. I'll try not to take up the podcast with woe is Isaiah here, but I was in a pretty serious car wreck, and then I've been through this bone marrow transplant and had to lay in a bed for a month, and it just wrecked some of my physicality. And I'm trying to walk a mile every day now and just get some endurance back. I have no endurance.
Yeah.
And it sucks.
Yeah, it does.
So, you know, and then when you live in pain like that, it's easy to get theologically lazy and just fill your mind with watching TV and not actually doing anything for the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what you and I struggle with, because, like, I feel guilty when I play a video game for more than an hour.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's me or if that's, I don't know if maybe the Holy Spirit trying to tell me something.
Yeah. I think sometimes a little bit of both. I mean, I've gone through phases where I would play video games a lot. Then I'd say, oh man, I can't do this anymore. I'm just going to put them down altogether. And I'll put them down for 6 months. Then I'm going to, I hadn't done this in a little while.
This one comes out. Yeah, this looks good. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, finding the balance is hard sometimes.
That's the word, balance.
That's the key. And I really don't, I still haven't figured it out.
Well, when you do, shoot me a text.
I will.
Because, you know, we're talking about 1 Corinthians here, and I think 1 Corinthians has a lot to say about what we're talking about. Now, obviously, this was written in a context of sexual immorality, and we covered that. But, you know, Paul says in verse 12 of chapter 6, he says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach for food. God will destroy both. The body is not meant for sexual morality. So there's a theological debate, if you will. I'm not even sure that's the right word. There's a discussion about, is Paul quoting some kind of mantra that the Corinthians were saying? Like, were the Corinthians saying, all things are lawful for me, right?
Yeah.
Or was Paul saying, look, all things are lawful. You have Christian freedom, but here's the key. Now, I'm not really sure if it matters, because at the end, he's basically saying, do not be dominated by anything.
Yeah.
Whether it's recreation or, you know what, I think you can make Bible study an idol. And here's what I mean by that. Not that the word of God is an idol, but I think we can get so obsessed with a topic that we forget to pray to the God who came up with that topic.
Right.
I'm very, very, very guilty of that.
Yep. Me too.
And balance. It's so hard to be balanced, man. But I think that's the whole sanctification Christian experience.
Yeah.
Is balance.
Yeah.
And you were raised in Jehovah. How did the JWs look at recreation? Because y'all didn't celebrate anything.
No. You just It really depended on the family. I mean, some families were really strict as far as recreation goes. And then others were pretty, for the lack of a better word, liberal about it.
Okay.
You know, I mean, you would have families that some would go to the football games or baseball games or basketball games, whatever. They'd do whatever. But then you have some families that all they would do is sit around and read their Watchtower magazines all the time. So.
I guess anything was okay as long as you didn't affirm the deity of Christ.
Pretty much, yeah. As long as you didn't believe in the Trinity, you were good to go.
Well, man, I cannot imagine what it's like to grow up like that, because despite all my medical hardships, I had good parents. I had godly parents who, you know, they would tell you right now that they weren't perfect and they wish they could do this, this, that, and whatever different, and that's okay. I'd be the same way if I was a parent, but
I was raised.
Oh, give me an example.
Okay. When I was still a witness, I worked with a man who, he refinished floors for Walmart. Okay. So we would go in at night and do that. We'd do it all night. So it was me and him and a few other guys that we were all witnesses. Well, one night we were, just working and had the radio on, and the Don McLean song American Pie came on. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, right? Yeah.
Okay. And we were just listening to it and doing our thing, not really paying any mention, wasn't concerned about it. And the line came on about the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, and this guy lost his mind. He lost his mind. You guys are listening to this demon music. It's all about the Trinity. We know the Trinity ain't true. And the guy who was running the guy who was, you know, who we were working for, he said, "Hey, dude, if you don't like it, leave."
Right.
And he left.
Good. That's great.
But and anyway, the guy who got offended and left went and told one of the elders in the hall the next night, and because that happened on a Wednesday, and so we got it all settled Thursday night, and he ended up apologizing and said, you know, the elders let me realize that it really isn't that big of a deal, and I need to be more reasonable. So,
that's what you're saying is the JWs even deal with this.
Yeah, they deal with it.
Long, long time ago. Yeah.
He's actually going to be not too far from here doing the 50th anniversary of American Pie.
Well, geek moment here. One of my favorite songs in general from that time period is by Don McLean, and it's not American Pie.
Vincent?
It's called Vincent.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the most beautiful songs ever written.
Yep. It's about Vincent Van Gogh.
Yeah, and it's about that devil worshiping Vincent.
Yeah.
Cut off his ear. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, that wasn't Van Gogh. That was, or was it?
I think it was Van. Yeah, Van Gogh did. He cut off his ear. Yeah.
Vincent Van Gogh. Is that the one?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, somebody more knowledgeable on art can correct me if we're wrong, but I know the song. I'm knowledgeable about that. But Danny, I really love talking to you, man. And I guess my final question is, you know, we've kind of went over a little bit of everything like I wanted to. Does it just come down to balance? Like, I think it does. They were dealing with this in the first century with the Jewish laws.
Mm-hmm. To me, it comes down to balance and conviction. There's going to be some things that will convict me that won't convict you, and vice versa. And it's how do we deal with those things and still be brothers?
Right.
And I think that's the key.
And so I'd like to, when you say something convicts you, because when I say that, what I mean is, if I do this activity here, whatever, you know, music, mm-hmm. this song, this show, this causes me to have these problematic thoughts or this irrational anger or this flashback to a time I wasn't a Christian, blah, 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 blah. That's mm-hmm. why I can't do it. That's what I mean by a personal conviction. And I think that's what you mean too. Because when we talk about universal sin and universal black and white issues like sexual immorality, mm-hmm. you and I are completely on the same page. Mm-hmm. We're not sitting here going, well, you know, it's probably okay to watch, you know, soft porn, right? I mean, we're not making those nuances.
No.
Because there's no middle ground. Mm-hmm. But there's these random things in our lives and our experiences and that we're shaped by that make us who we are. For good or bad. Mm-hmm. And it's probably better for us to avoid the things that make us bad that might not make Danny bad or it might not make Isaiah bad or whoever. But for instance, if I listen to too much politics, if I listen to too much Ben Shapiro or Matt Walsh, I get so irrationally angry, man. Yeah, I can break glass. Right. And like, that's not the way a Christian handles anger.
No.
There's justified anger. Anger is not a sin. But when you are acting out and completely just being a blowing your stack and Paul talks about fits of rage, when you're in that, you need to get away from whatever's making you that way.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's why one of the things, you know, you and I have talked about this. I mean, I used to watch Joe Rogan and listen to Joe Rogan, and I can't do it anymore.
Okay.
You know, he talks
about Christianity.
Yeah, it does, me too. And I'm just like, listen, I don't know when he's going to talk about it, but I know he will. So I just was like, you know what? I just don't need to do it. I'm just going to, there's other guys I can listen to. And I'm like you, I've really gotten off the YouTube, news cycle. I've just had to let it go. Because, you know, we know this world is going to hell in a handbasket, and I don't need anybody to tell me that. Yeah, I know it is. And it's just, I keep saying, I don't want anything to steal my peace.
That's a really good quote.
That steals my peace.
Okay.
And I'm really consciously staying away from things that do that as best I can.
Right. And I know you well enough because we're friends, but I want to also nuance for the listeners. But you keep up in general what's going on in the world, yes. right? But you yes. don't fill your head 24/7 just going, can you believe so-and-so said that to so-and-so, and now they're going to be passing this bit, and then you're just, that's what I have
it
to
will
stay
drive
away
you
from.
Nuts. If you're on that 24-hour news cycle, it will drive you insane. It will steal your peace.
It absolutely. I've had to learn that the hard way. I think some of my family has had to learn that the hard way, and I'm not trying to talk about them in a bad way at all. We're all learning as a family how much of our heart do we give to this corrupt beast?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And some people have their limits.
We know how it's going to end.
Yeah.
We know exactly how it is going to end.
And there's some folks, Danny, that could listen to, you know, 2 or 3 or 4 hours of talk radio and just be completely peaceful and be like, man, that's terrible, but here's what I'm going to do. And their personality type is okay.
Yeah.
Mine doesn't work with that. But so between me and Jesus, I have to get that out of my head.
Yeah.
So yep. I think that's a really good defining line of, we're not saying this is inherently sinful. We're saying that it causes us to sin.
Yeah, and is it? Here's one of the things I'll look at too, is kind of along what Paul was going along with there, is it edifying?
Is it edifying?
Is it, does it uplift me or does it bring me down? And,
okay.
And
yeah, you're right.
You know, and there's, you know, I can play Fallout 4 for about an hour, and that's edifying. Playing it for 5 hours,
right.
That's not edifying.
That's not edifying. Yeah, when you're, well, let me tell you, dude, I was, this past year, I've been on prednisone back and forth for issues.
Oh, man, yeah.
Prednisone will keep you up all night.
You won't sleep.
And I have found myself just playing a video game mindlessly, and it's entertaining. I can sit and play Red Dead Redemption 2 for hours because it's so peaceful to me, because it's like, man, I'm just riding a horse and I'm camping in the wilderness, and like, it's almost dangerous how much of an escape it is for me.
I don't think
that is inherently sinful, right? But if I'm escaping my wife and my job as a husband, then we have a problem.
Yeah.
Well, Danny, I think this has been a helpful conversation. Listeners, I hope you get something out of this. If you disagree with us, fantastic. But maybe it might encourage you to know people are struggling with the same things you are in the culture we're trying to live and wade through. You know, eventually I'm going to have a post-millennial come on the show and maybe give me some hope. I don't know if he's going to convince me, but I do have a guy in mind I'm talking to about having a show about, all right, man, I'm all millennial, change my mind kind of thing. And I want to have a fair defense of that. But
convince me that Jesus is coming back to a saved earth.
Right. a generally saved earth. Yeah. Don't buy it. But I could be wrong. And that's why I leave that all on the table of, God will correct me one day. And I'm so thankful for your friendship, Danny. I hope you and I do this many more times. Today's show was simply just a casual conversation between brothers, because I hope you didn't take us as making some kind of theological dogma, because we're not. We're just really trying to talk through, man, what do you deal with? How do you feel about this? Can you play Fallout? I really enjoyed it. Read the New Testament. The New Testament has a lot to say about this. And Romans 14 tells us that some people regard one day as better than another, and some people look at it all the same. Each in his own mind must be convinced to do so for the Lord.
Yeah.
So Danny abstaining from Joe Rogan, he's doing that for the Lord. And currently I can listen to Joe Rogan. It annoys me when he talks about Christianity, and I might eventually be like, dude, I had to throw it in the trash. But right now I still listen to some of his podcast when I find somebody on there that I want to listen to. But just don't talk about Moses and the burning bush and the LSD thing, because I'm really tired of hearing that argument.
Yeah.
But I hope Danny and I could maybe set an example of how we're supposed to talk through this.
We have to talk through it. I mean, because these were things I think about all the time. Then we just suddenly start talking about it the other day.
Yeah. And it's like, whoa, you and I actually have a lot in common. And the things we don't have in common, we talk through it and explain why we can do this or why we can't do this. And then I walk away respecting you more.
Yeah. Same here.
Cool. Well, Danny, those are my closing thoughts. What would you... You got anything for the listeners? Just a closing Danny Cooper thought?
The body of Christ, it's really important to come after being raised the way I was and being a very angry agnostic for many, many years. The gift that God has given us of freedom in certain areas.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to know what we can handle as individuals and still maintain our integrity,
right,
our relationship with Christ. And we need to respect our brothers and sisters that we don't agree with, as long as it's not on a salvation issue.
Right. The essentials.
The essentials. We really got to stop making dogma out of the non-essentials.
Especially dogmas that developed in the last 20 years.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. big time. And just love one another and pray for one another and realize that someday, hopefully soon, this world's going to be over. Christ will return and we will all be a whole lot better off.
And he will be king, and he is king now, but the king is coming to do some inventory, if you will.
Exactly. We're waiting for that blessed hope. That's what we're waiting for. And it's going to happen.
Amen. Well, until next time, everyone, thank you for listening. And remember, it depends on how you look at it.